My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Welcome in and good evening. This is the Character Concerns show, or is it just Character Concerns?
Just call it Character Concerns.
I'm Nick Schwartz. He's Chris Unocero with Jay Binkley. We comprise the Character Concerns podcast. If you haven't listened, do yourself a favor and go and do that, but wait a little while before you do it, because for the next 3 hours, we've got you talking all things NFL draft. The Character Concerns podcast is now Character Concerns : the show.
And Bink is podcasted as well.
We are moments away from Bink cracking. Don't do it yet. We are moments away from Binkley cracking an energy drink because he's going to need all the juice he can get here over the next 180 minutes. Okay, Bink, the floor is yours. Go ahead.
All right, let's go.
There we go. All right. Now we can begin. How are you guys feeling? 3 weeks from today, the NFL draft will be taking place right here in Kansas City, down at Union Station. I feel like the vibes started to hit me earlier this week, maybe because the calendar turned over to April, and it's starting to feel less and less like free agency season and more like draft season. Once that calendar turns over, you realize how close you are. Most of the big name free agents have signed somewhere. The holes that teams are trying to fill on their roster now, you look to the draft to try and figure out exactly how you're going to plug those holes, both in the short and the long term. So looking at these next 3 weeks, Bink, lay out the map for me for Kansas City as to what they're focusing on and what they're trying to do leading up to the draft.
Well, right now, it's just the settling in, the top 30 visits going on right now. Whether you go on a visit or people concerned, I even sent you guys
Josh Downs, wide receiver, North Carolina.
They said, usually guys go on these visits, which they all do. But they said, well, maybe teams just don't want to look at
it. Just for the reference, you sent us a tweet from Ian Rappaport that said, no top 30 visits for Josh Downs, which for those who don't know about top 30 visits, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a top 30 pick. Generally speaking, if you are a day one or day two prospect, you will get some top 30 visits with some teams. Josh Downs, wide receiver, North Carolina, has got a grand total of zero of them.
Which is really strange for a guy not to get any at all. But the Chiefs, a lot of times, use them for seventh rounders, sixth rounders, undrafted. It's just guys to get a look at. Get a look at guys. Maybe they didn't get a chance to meet them at the combine. Maybe they didn't go to the combine. They come in here and Chiefs have, made their way, made their money going after guys in the later rounds and had success with. That's why 21 of the 22 guys, the last guy's picks for the Chiefs are still on this roster except for Bo P. Keys. So, yes, guys don't typically make these. Sometimes it's a smoke screen, as Chris will tell you. But it is strange for someone not to have any. I mean, that is a complete smoke screen there. But a lot of times when guys are drafted, the Chiefs have these media conference calls with the player. And one of the first questions out of the media is always, do you like our airport? It's a new one now. Have you had the barbecue, and have you talked to the Chiefs? Those three questions right there.
What do you know about Kansas? What do you know about Kansas City before you got drafted?
Yeah, how about those Chiefs? You're excited to be a Chief. So what they're doing is kind of narrow it down. And I think Bob and I had this discussion once on the Fesco in the Morning a couple weeks ago. And, you know, is it good to have free agency before the draft? Because there are some out there that says maybe we should do the draft first and free agency. I kind of like the way it is now because then you can kind of earmark what you need. Because obviously the Chiefs needs, they didn't dress some of them in free agency. And maybe had they done it, maybe if DeAndre Hopkins wasn't asking for the pie in the sky and he's going to be released, it looks like at this point, or Odell, and they bring in somebody like that, it's also a good smokescreen for him too. Like, oh, look, the Chiefs brought in this veteran wide receiver. But I think a lot of teams know the Chiefs do have to draft wide receiver. And I think a lot of them will be conscious when you look at that draft order, that is very important. Who's picking when in front of the Chiefs? Who do you think could be a trade partner? Because I don't think any of that's going to happen anymore with the Ravens giving us the one guy the Chiefs needed, a left tackle, in Orlando Brown. Because Baltimore was the best thing smoking at that time. They were right there where the Bills were, and they were way ahead of the Bengals and stuff like that. And then, of course, the Buffalo Bills traded the Chiefs to be able to get Patrick Mahomes. That stuff ends. That stuff ends now, where you get the Belichick treatment for a while when nobody would do business with him.
Yeah, and I think the Chiefs have to be really strategic with their top 30 visits because they don't really want to give away their strategies as far as how they're going to draft. I think that's actually what makes this whole season so exciting. It's like we don't know exactly what they're going to do. They could go receiver first round. I think we all think that that's more than likely what they're going to do, but they could go edge rusher. They could go tackle. There's a lot of different ways they can go. They could surprise people. They could trade back because maybe someone's not a first round grade where they're sitting at 31. There's a lot of different options there. So I just think that, like, if you're in a position the Chiefs are in, you have to be very strategic. So if they are looking at a guy like Downs, I don't know if you would want other people to know that, because if there's another team that covets him, then you definitely don't want them to go in and make a move to get ahead of you or just take them in a surprise manner, because at that point you lose the guy that you really like.
And I think you get to this point with the Chiefs and trading up. The Chiefs usually have, 19 to 20 guys they give first-round grades to. And the real question is, like a Jalen Hyatt, which, by the way, is really starting. In the beginning, he was all over the Chiefs in the mock drafts in the later part of the first round. Then he started sliding to the second round. People said he's not a second rounder. Now, all of a sudden, when you had Charles Davis took him to the Chiefs, when you had Chad Ryder, you'll hear from later from NFL.com, had the Chiefs trading down to 22 to grab him. Other mocks came out today having him 21. The consensus is it looks like early 20s, that he's right in there. Right behind Jackson Smith Enigma, maybe Quentin Johnson if you really like him, and then Jalen Hyatt right in there. Head of Zay Flowers still at that point, but do the Chiefs value him as a first-round pick? They're not going to trade down unless they value him as a first-round pick. If they don't, they're not going to move. Just like Trent McDuffie. He started to slide a little bit in the draft last year, but the Chiefs had him on their board as a first-round pick, and it wasn't looking like that. And most of these teams, like I said, 19 to 20 guys in the first round with first-round grades, and the rest are essentially second-round grades.
Is there more gamesmanship involved when you're the Chiefs and you know that you have the last pick of the first? You're the last pick of every round, right? The first 3 days, you're the last pick of each round. Do you have to play this a little bit differently than some other teams, knowing that not only are we the last team to pick, but then we have a full day, right? We are going to have 24 hours, like we're the last pick of the day. Then everybody gets a night to sleep on it. How do you handle that differently than if you're picking 20th, than if you're picking 11th?
I think it's tough because you look at the Chiefs kind of on house money. Their roster is well-respected around the National Football League. But teams know what they need. It's not one of those situations where there's so many needs, the Chiefs could go and grab and everybody. I think a lot of teams kind of know, all right, tackle help, it's wide receiver, possibly a tight end. I don't think you want to go through this draft and not draft a tight end, because I think in 3 years you'll look back at it, you know, when Kelsey's 37 years old and say, why did the Chiefs take somebody in the biggest tight end draft we've had in decades? But it's kind of out there. The teams know the Chiefs didn't go out and get what they wanted in free agency as far as wide receivers concerned. But there's a lot of people, and they might press on getting a wide receiver. If they're in front of the Chiefs, they might do that. I think at this point there could be five quarterbacks selected, so that does move the Chiefs down from 31 down to about 26. And you think about Gonzalez and Witherspoon, the corners. You take them out of the equation. You take Bijan Robinson out of the question. And all of a sudden, the Chiefs have 23 picks ahead of them to be concerned about. But I think teams know what they want. I do feel they'll maybe want to move up. I really think the Chiefs move up in round two. Picking the last pick in the second round, I think that's where they make their move.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of guys who are sitting probably in middle second as far as value that could really help the Chiefs. And I think that the Chiefs are in a position where, like, let's say they go get a tackle, or let's say they go get an edge rusher or something in the second round. Well, after that, you could probably afford to sit back and wait to the end of rounds to go get the rest of the guys. Because really, aside from probably the first couple rounds, everything else is you just throwing darts to see if you can find a guy who develops into an incredible player that was undervalued in the draft anyways. There's not a whole lot of needs the Chiefs need to address like they did a year ago, where you needed to retool your secondary, and you could definitely use some help on your defensive line and whatnot and linebacking core. And they went out and they addressed all those spots because they needed to. But this year, they can afford to take some risks and go after some guys that aren't going to contribute in 2023, but could be 2024, 2025 guys with a little bit of coaching.
And I think as far as edge rushers concerned, we've started to see a little bit of a shift. I told you how much value it is to get somebody in the first round, picks 1 through 18. I mean, that's the last 2 years it's loaded the top 20 sackers in the NFL with those guys. But then you see the outliers, like Max Crosby's the outlier of that too with the Raiders. George Karloftis was the outlier. And I think this year becomes a lot more outliers where you'll see a lot more second-round picks be the dominant edge rusher. It's no longer you've got to get 1 through 18 or you're not going to get one. I kind of feel that way with wide receiver,
well,
too.
Well, wide
it's
receiver, we've
heavy,
seen the shift.
It's just deep.
If you go back over each of the last three seasons, there have been at least 15 wide receivers taken in the first three rounds. I think the shift from teams' mindset has been we no longer need to spend a high-value pick on a wide receiver unless it's a Ja'Marr Chase type. Unless we think this guy is a once every 10 years type player, because there's going to be plenty of value later in the first round. There's going to be plenty of value on day two as well. We haven't quite seen that with edge rusher. And I think it's more about how defensive coordinators in the league are setting these guys up, as well as like what college teams are doing to get them prepared, because that's what we're seeing. We're seeing now offenses that are tailor-made for wide receivers to be able to come in and be productive right away. I wonder if we'll start to see that with edge rushers as well.
Yeah, I think so. And there's not that certifiable guy. You say it's going to be a stud. Like Justin Jefferson did fall to 22. But you knew that guy was going to be good.
Yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase, that you said, example, when the Bengals took him in top five, he was going to be good. I can't look at these receivers and say, all right, this guy is guaranteed he'll be in the Pro Bowl.
Not in this class.
I don't see it at all. The only one that had that potential to be that, I felt, is Jackson Smith Enigma from Ohio State. Why? Because he was the best quarterback or best wide receiver on a roster that had the NFL rookie of the year.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Here, offensive, and Garrett Wilson, it had Chris Olave on that, and he was better than them. Of course, he got hurt last year.
We're going to get more into the wide receivers, Jaxon Smith-Njigba included, coming up later this hour. What do you think the Chiefs' draft strategy should be? Let us know on the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. We'll give you our thoughts coming up next. It's Character Concerns on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bink, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Schwartz, Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero. It's Character Concerns on 610 Sports Radio. Julio on the switches. If you have a comment, a question, 913-586-7610. Get in on the conversation. For the Chiefs draft strategy, 3 weeks from today, the NFL draft begins here in Kansas City. It's going to be a busy week here on 610 Sports Radio. We've got stuff going on all week, starting on Tuesday night, drafts and drafts. Tuesday, April 25th at 6:30 from the Landing in Liberty, I will be emceeing a roundtable discussion with Nate Taylor, Mitchell Schwartz, and a special guest. The event is free, open to the public. That means anybody can come down there, raise the hand, grab a mic, ask a question, get in on the combo. Should be a fun time. We're going to have the three of us live draft coverage from Cinder Block Brewery on Friday, April 28th, following the Royals game, which would get over around like 7 o'clock or so.
So second, third rounds will be down there. We've done stuff at Cinder Block, and I've talked to the brewer. It looks like there's going to be a Character Concerns beer.
Whoa.
At that event.
Sound the alert.
Do you know what the name of it's called?
We haven't got the name down, but I'm like Character Concerns.
I like Character Concerns. That's a great name for a beer.
Character Concerns beer, but it's just going to be available that night only. We're going to tap. They're going to let us tap the beer. Anybody can have the beer. And there's another special thing that might happen. I don't want to give that out, but we'll be doing
a t-shirt contest.
I'm for okay. That. My girlfriend wouldn't like that, but
I would love it.
It's for work purposes.
But anyway, we got a lot of stuff
By the way, we're
going
to be there on Friday and Saturday at Cinder Block Brewery. So we're going to be there both during the second and third rounds. Friday. If you don't want to like fight through the crowds to go downtown and try to be at the actual draft, come out north, Cinder Block Brewery. It's going to be a great time. One of the coolest things that we're doing, we're giving away VIP parking with Crown Center. We've got 4 spaces for Thursday, 4 spaces for Friday, 2 for Saturday in the Pershing Garage. So you can win tickets on Thursday, April 20th, at the 31 starting at 7:31 in the morning on Fesco. That's parking in the Crown Center garages. Those rates go for $50 on April 27th.
This town loves parking.
April 29th.
Save yourself some money and try to win those.
Kansas City loves parking. But we'll be on Thursday night. We'll be doing a live show so you can follow along with us.
We're going to be doing a live show. You're going to have Fesco in the morning. They're going to be on location at the Crown Center.
Yeah.
You're going to have Cody and Gold, who are going to be at the Boulevard deck. You're going to have Dusty on the red carpet,
which is scary.
You're going to have Pete and Nate out live at Arrowhead. We're going to be sending it all over Kansas City. We have got our tentacles spread all over
this
town.
The last couple of years on draft cover, the fun thing is I'll let you know about the players because we got those little vignettes too. We had those little minutes tell you all the player. At 6'5", 245 pound, and just a wrecker at USC, those kind of things. We've got those. And the fun thing is, too, because we've all put our mock draft out for the entire NFL. Usually it's just the Chiefs. We did Chiefs in the entire NFL. Is when these teams are getting ready to pick, we get to put our money where our mouth is and see who gets the pick right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Let's get right into it. I want you to close your eyes, Bink. I want you to use your imagination because I'm going to present to you a hypothetical that's going to be tough for you to imagine. Brett Veach calls you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m.
His eyes are really closed
He says, hey, Bink, we're about 3 weeks away from the draft, and I don't really know what to do. I got a lot of options. The pressure's on. We're defending champs. I don't know whether I should trade up. I don't know whether I should trade back. Do I stick at 31? Do I go offense? Do I go defense? What should be my strategy for this draft? Bink, what do you answer to Brett Veach?
I think he stays put at 31 because I do think a talented wide receiver will still be there. And if they get the fear that they won't. And the four guys that they earmarked, 3 to 4 guys, that's what I'll play something later for you. Brett Veach usually lets Andy Reid 3 to 5 guys. You pick which one you like best. That does play into their factors and who they take.
Okay, so let me back it up then real quick. Let me back it up because I want to look at this from a big picture view. When you're preparing for the draft as a GM, you're not just making a board and saying, I hope this guy falls to me, right? You have first-round grades. And that may or may not be 31 players. It probably won't
probably 19 or 20. And if everybody's through that, then you sit there and just wait patiently. Then you go on to your board. They always say just best player available. Well, that goes kind of out the window. Best player available in the slots that you need, which is offensive line, tight end, wide receiver, not necessarily in order, wide receiver, offensive lineman, tight end, is what I'd go with that, or defensive lineman.
So you really are going into the draft and you're saying, I'm picking one of these four guys.
Best
one of these
available,
four positions.
Best available in the position group we need the most.
So if
it wasn't really addressed in free agency.
If there's a cornerback who just happens to go on this massive slide that you had as the sixth best player in the draft, you don't alter your plans at that
point?
Like
a Trent McDuffie last year. That was a perfect example of someone slipping and falling, and she's going, well, we got to get up there and get him. And they had the ammunition to do it. 10 picks in this year's draft. They had 10 last year. 7 were used on defense. I just think this could be an offensive-heavy draft. I do. Chiefs have made their bread and butter as far as winning with rookies. They had 4 rookies in the defensive backfield in the Super Bowl. You had 2 seventh-round picks, and Jalen Watson just starring in the postseason, getting 2 picks in the postseason. You had Isaiah Pacheco in the 7th round. A lot of teams use those seventh-rounders and undrafted free agents as dart throws. The Chiefs used them as commodities that could help them win. And you know what they had to? And all those teams are going to be paying quarterbacks like Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, Justin Herbert with the Chargers, when Jalen Hurts gets his money. My biggest question is that's fine. People really like these teams. I like those teams. Thing is, can you win once you pay your quarterback? That's the big thing. Can you win once you pay him? The Chiefs proved they could. They paid Mahomes, and they went the rookie route with a lot of their young talent, infusing their young talent. They had to do it. You just didn't have the space to go out and do it. People called this a rebuilding year. Brett Veach even mentioned that at the parade. What kind of rebuilding year is it? They play the 3rd most rookies in the NFL. You know the teams that played number 1 and 2 rookies in the NFL? They're picking 1 and 2 in this year's draft. Or were, till Carolina made the move up.
Yeah, I think you prioritize the positions that matter the most to you. And if you feel like there's not a guy in that spot, then I think you probably look to try and trade back. Even if that's not the popular thing for fans, I think you prioritize trading back because I think in the Chiefs' position, and we saw the Patriots do this for years when they were in this spot, you find the most value for the picks that you have. And if you don't get the kind of value that you want at 31, then you go find the value where it is for that player. So if you're pretty sure a guy's going to be available mid-second, and you're sitting there at 31, 32, move back. Get some extra picks back and use it to take more shots. Because all it takes is for you to just the draft is all just throwing darts. So the more darts you got, the better chance you have of hitting. So I think in that case, you try and maximize the value that you have for certain players.
I would really like to see him move up from 63 in the second round and be picking at like 31, 37, 38, something like that. Oh, by the way, we had a great question about Stetson Bennett on the text
line. I don't know if you're really, dude. Oh, really?
He was so excited.
I just didn't know if you saw it or not.
I'm halfway through the show, the first hour.
He said some questions in.
He had to sneak that one in. He loves it.
Just because someone's throwing stuff from the peanut gallery doesn't mean it warrants
a
response.
It's not from my phone.
I want to talk about wide receivers because there is this growing sense that a couple of the guys are maybe falling, but yet the dudes who you think are going to be there at 31 might not be worthy of a first-round pick. We're going to get into that coming up next. It's Character Concerns on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bank, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to join the conversation, you can do so via the text line 913-586-7610. I am Nick Schwert, Chris Unocero, Jay Binkley. This is Character Concerns, talking all things NFL Draft. 3 weeks from today, the Chiefs they won't be on the clock. They'll actually have to wait a very, very long time. How many hours will we have to get into the draft before the Chiefs actually make their selection?
Unless they trade up, it's very end. You know, back in 2013 when they took Eric Fisher, I'll never forget. We were out there at Arrowhead, you know, covering the draft, and there was a huge draft party right there. But the Chiefs had the first pick on the clock. A lot of people there. They make the pick. Everybody like leaves. Like 10 minutes later, everybody's gone for the whole draft party. Just kind of boop.
The beautiful thing is that it is in Kansas City, so that a lot of people, I would assume, will be sticking around to the bitter end, which is great for the NFL, right? That the team whose city is hosting the draft is the last pick of that round, so you know all the people that are in attendance, at least the ones who are from Kansas City, are going to stick around to the very end of the first round. That's great for the league.
300,000 or 400,000 people that are coming here?
For the sake of this conversation, and maybe this we can move this to potentially trading up or trading back, but for the sake of this conversation, if the Chiefs are to sit there at 31, what do you think realistically their options are going to be at wide receiver? Because I look at this wide receiver class, and at the top, it's very fluid in terms of who has who as the top receiver in this class. You go look at 10 different big boards, you may have three or four different guys as the number one wide receiver. I've seen a lot with Quentin Johnston. He's fallen as of late. Maybe Jackson Smith and Jigba is the guy. I've seen a lot of people who are very high on Zay Flowers. Jordan Addison is still a name that's getting a lot of pop. If the Chiefs sit there at 31, realistically, what do you think their options would be at wide receiver?
I think Zay Flowers, even though the latest mocks have him moving quite up, I've seen a lot of the second rounders. My biggest thing is this. The guys that fall and move up this time of the draft, it's kind of like, a couple weeks ago, right after the combine, you said they're second rounders. Then how'd they magically become first rounders when they haven't done anything? They haven't played. They haven't done anything. That's the magic.
It's dominated the interview.
You know what happens? It's word of mouth. Somebody will throw their mock out there, like Kiper, McShay, or whatever, and it's like, woo, maybe we overvalued this guy or we undervalued this guy, and they move up. But it's the funniest thing when guys have not moved. The thing about teams are they don't move from their draft board because they've seen them play. They've got on a plane, went up to Chestnut Hill, watched Zay Flowers in person. They know what they're doing and where he's going to go. Personally, I think when you look at a Jordan Addison or Jalen Hyatt, you got to put some stock in the guys that won the Biletnikoff Award as the best receiver in the country. Because a guy like Jamar Chase went pretty well when he had the Biletnikoff Award. So they've done things. Not only that, they did them at two schools. Obviously, Jordan Addison, a better year at Pittsburgh with Kenny Pickett than what he's had at USC. I think they'll be sitting here, and I'm hoping my top four receivers in Quentin Johnson, Jackson Smith and Nigba, Jackson Smith actually is number one. Three, Jalen Hyatt, Jordan Addison would be my top four. If those four aren't there, that's when I think you make that position
move. You would not be a fan of Zay Flowers at 31?
I would, but I think it's kind of settling because that size, I'm not sure, because the Chiefs have a lot of Zay Flowers type players. They don't have that big physical wide receiver, and I get it. These guys aren't like, you know, Jalen Hyatt's 6 foot tall, but he doesn't have, you know, the girth.
He's like 175 pounds.
Hey, Quentin Johnson.
He's not a big wide receiver.
Quentin Johnson is that prototypical guy. He's 6'3", 208, and can be a number one receiver.
So here's my thing about the whole physical thing. And you're not
Jackson Smith.
It's a very popular opinion, the idea that a lot of the guys in this class are undersized. They're slot receivers. The Chiefs already have undersized guys. A couple things here. First off, Quentin Johnston is not without his knocks. Like, yes, physically, he is a freak. He profiles as a legit X receiver in the NFL. It's not as though he is Julio Jones coming out of college. Like, there's a reason why this guy seemingly is falling a little bit. He's more of a project, I think. I'm not sure he's going to be ready to be, like, your number one from day one. Drops are a concern. He doesn't play. Like, he's a big, strong receiver. I watched TCU a lot. He didn't play with a ton of physicality, despite the fact that he has all the physical traits. The bigger thing to me is Andy Reid is like a master chef. It doesn't matter what ingredients you give him. He is going to produce an incredible meal. And I've never seen him, with the exception of Terrell Owens, who, by the way, ran a 4.2. He's never had one of those big physical dominant X receivers. So why does it matter if those guys aren't going to be available for
him
now?
But he's coveted them.
Has he?
Yes.
When has he shown you that?
Yeah, when? Juju Smith-Schuster. No, seriously.
Juju's not a prototypical one.
He's not.
No, but
they didn't use him downfield.
He's got the size and the X. They wanted somebody physical underneath. And I'll tell you why. Not this year. The year before, Andy Reid put a hardcore press. I've never seen him do anything like that for free agency. He wanted Juju. He's texting pictures of the ring. That's how bad they need him. The Chiefs needed an X receiver. Sammy Watkins provided that for him, you know, during the regular season. And I've given you an example that when they played the Patriots in the regular season, it was Stephon Gilmore coming off Defensive Player of the Year. It wasn't on Tyreek Hill the whole game. He was on Sammy Watkins. He's coveted that more physical wide receiver in Juju. Really wanted him 2 years ago. Finally got him this year. This was Brett Veach. And he kind of gleams what he wants. He wants receivers to be able to do everything. He doesn't want you pigeonholed into one area or another. He wants you to play slot. He wants you to play outside. What Andy Reid wants is interchangeable parts where if someone comes out, it doesn't matter who he puts in. Here was Brett Veach on Pat McAfee on what he looks for as that versatility.
Well, I think you kind of alluded to it. It's speed and versatility, which goes with the player's aptitude to be able to come in and learn plays. Coach likes to he likes to create matchup problems, and he likes – offensive players that can play multiple positions. So if he wants to get to a play or a look that's successful, it doesn't have to be that same receiver running that play or that same running back running that play. So any guy that can come in here, and certainly speed is right at the forefront of, you know, skill sets that are valued and desired. But guys that can run, but also, like I mentioned, just be versatile and line up in different positions, play multiple positions. You know, we like receivers that can play inside and outside, and we like running backs that can go out and play in the slot. So anytime you get speed and versatility, you know, needless to say, those guys would be high on our priority list.
And it's where Veach and McAfee, like Mecole Hardman, Mecole Hardman wasn't a guy that could go onto the outside. He's inside. What Andy's saying, if somebody gets hurt, somebody else can go in there. You don't have to worry about it.
Here's the problem, though. If they really coveted guys like Juju that much, why didn't they try to keep Juju?
They got what they wanted out of Juju, Chris.
1 year?
But they got 1 year out of Juju.
But it was going to be the cost going up.
I mean, look. If
you don't remember his hardcore press on Juju 2 years ago.
No. Did. Right now, though.
But if the hardcore press was
money
that
wasn't
hardcore,
there. Money wasn't available. He got his other ring.
They offered him a contract. It just wasn't as much for the as the Patriots were willing to offer.
But they got what they wanted from Juju. The price went up.
But if...
But it didn't. Clearly it did not go up. The price did not go up.
For what they wanted to spend.
That's my point, though, is that they coveted him to a certain price. It wasn't like he
I have never seen the Chiefs want a player like they wanted
Juju. No. But you can't keep going back to that and then ignore the fact that they could have had him for a... I mean, and for all intents and purposes, Juju's son... Like, there was no market for him this offseason.
Not at all.
There was nothing.
It was Chiefs
and
Patriots,
and the Chiefs still said, Patriots, you can have him on a dirt cheap
deal.
Well,
maybe they saw what they needed to see because they had him every day.
Yeah.
But
the lure of Juju, that's who they wanted. For Andy Reid to be texting a player to bring him in here shows me everything I need to know about how bad he wanted.
But I wonder where those texts were at this summer.
Yeah.
Right, where were they at? Where were they at last month?
They saw what they wanted. He was living in their own house. He's using their own bathrooms, washing his hands at the same place. They saw everything on a Juju they could possibly see, and they're like, well, maybe we're wrong.
Well, he's got first off, he's got the knee issues. I think secondly.
But they wanted that type.
Sure, but I don't know what that type is because Juju, we throw around the term number one receiver as if you're the leading receiver in an offense, you're number one. That's not what a number one receiver is. That's like calling anybody's number one pitcher an ace.
Big, they're not physical, able to get off the block yards per catch.
That's fine. But what the Chiefs offense, what Andy Reid's offense has always, always, always been predicated on, even going back 15 years ago to Philadelphia, to be a receiver in the Chiefs offense, you have to do one of a couple things. Take the top off the defense, create separation, or be a yak machine.
What the funny thing is, they had MVS and they didn't do it.
Juju, but
he's not reliable,
was a yak machine, right? That's what he did.
Yes.
But he's not a great, I mean, he's not somebody who can beat you downfield. And he's not someone, if I'm looking at the next 3 years, I don't see him becoming a different player in this offense, which is why moving forward, it's like, what are you going to draft? Are you going to draft a guy who you think can be a nice, steady, underneath target? Or are you going to draft a guy who can get open and be reliable downfield? I think that's what the Chiefs are going to go for, and I don't think they're going to care if that player happens to be 5'9 instead of 6 foot tall.
Here's what I'll say about it. I do think the Chiefs like having a Juju type, like you brought up, like Sammy Watkins, not as their number one, though. They want him to be a complimentary player to their number one.
Because they didn't have a true number one once Tyreek Hill left.
But that's the thing, though. They still coveted that type.
But they like toughness. They like toughness.
Oh, 100% I agree with that.
Sammy was extremely 100%, tough. But not only that, Juju is the one that put Vontaze Burfict on his butt.
Right.
And he had always haunted the Steelers.
Yeah.
And he cracked him hard and left. You know, they had to take him out of the game because Juju hit him so hard.
Yeah, they do covet that, but they don't covet it as a number one. They don't covet it as let's spend our most valuable assets to get that. They like that as, oh, let's use that as a complementary to our true number one. Their number ones, Andy's number ones, DeSean Jackson, Tyreek Hill, Terrell Owens, guys like that. Terrell Owens, big body, but it's the speed and the agility and the separation that make him the number one in Andy's system. They like those guys like that. They don't really care about guys who are huge because they don't throw the kind of routes that those receivers are most valuable in.
Which receiver would you like to see wear red and gold from this draft class? Let us know. The text line 913-586-7610. I'd imagine some more of those names are going to come up in the next segment. It's time for some mock talk, boys. This is Character Concerns on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bank, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And listen to the Character Concerns podcast on the Odyssey app, 610sports.com, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes released every Tuesday morning featuring the three of us, Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero. I am Nick Schwert. We've got you till 9 o'clock tonight talking all things NFL draft. This is Character Concerns. Mock draft season's been going on for a while now. We have officially released two mock drafts, two different types of mock drafts. We did a full 7-round Chiefs mock draft where we just mocked all 10 of the Chiefs draft selections. Then we did a first round simulation to try and get a sense of who potentially would be there for the Chiefs at the end of the round. It's so funny to me watching week to week. And if I know the three of us are like, anytime you see a mock draft pop up on Twitter, NFL.com, Yahoo, doesn't matter where, I'm watching all, I'm looking at all of them. Even if it's a guy.
They have grown exponentially, man. They're like sunflowers.
They're getting ridiculous.
Well, they change so much week to week. And the biggest trends I've seen lately, maybe about a week ago, started seeing Hendon Hooker pop up into the first round a little bit more, starting to see Quentin Johnston fall down. Like earlier, you thought he may be a fringe top 10 pick. Now,
taking
all of a sudden,
Will Levis fall.
Looking like he might be in the 20s. Will Levis is falling. The interesting one over the last like 24 to 48 hours, though, and Bink, you shared this with us, the idea that maybe CJ Stroud to Carolina at number one is not as big of a certainty as people were making it out to seem a couple weeks ago.
Of course, and I love all the people who says, well, he went to dinner with the Tappers. He went to dinner with Carolina. And I was like, wait a second. So did Bryce Young. So did Will Levis. All of them went to dinner with the Carolina Panthers. But here's the thing. There's no need for them to throw a smokescreen. And as you get closer to the draft, you'll start to know who the number one pick is. There is no benefit for them. I mean, it doesn't matter who they're taking because it's their choice. They can do whatever they want. So there's not as much smokescreen, I believe, in that pick. But, yeah, you see more and more Bryce Young. I think Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud have that cachet about them. And you go back that year of the pandemic where, you know, guys were taken that had no business being taken, like Zach Wilson to the Jets because they didn't play, except for BYU, they did play non-conference games, but nobody else did. And I took the guys like Trevor Lawrence because you knew he was going to be something because he played in the national championship game 1-1. They were made guys. They had played in the postseason and done things. A lot of these guys haven't. They hadn't done things. But the more quarterbacks are taken from the Chiefs, the better. We mentioned Will Levis, the quarterback for Kentucky that transferred from Penn State, who's thrown 23 interceptions, by the way, in the last 2 years. And he looks like a WWE wrestler at this point. He's gained so much muscle mass, which I don't think is a great thing for a quarterback. And he likes to pose in front of the mirror, which I don't think is a good thing.
Kind of giving me Brady Quinn vibes, to be honest with you.
But I'm not – Will Levis –
do you need to be that strong?
Will Levis will probably be running the gym in 3 years. Come down and work out with Will Levis. That's what he probably was going to be doing about 3 years. But you know what?
Selling protein
shakes.
He's
still going to go
sell
in the first round. That's good, though, because he still will go before the Chiefs pick because everybody's so starved for a quarterback in the National Football League. If you can throw the football, they'll take you. But we need five quarterbacks taken in the first round.
I think there's a very, especially because Hendon Hooker's starting to move up now. I've seen a lot of mocks where he goes like 23 to the Vikings,
which is good. He could be the best one. I remember when Lamar Jackson was taken, nobody believed it. He goes 32, and then you have a Josh Darnold going 10 to Carter. I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, did you not watch these cats play in college?
Yeah,
like Lamar is a better player. Not only that, Lamar had a better season the year after he won the Heisman.
Yeah, he did. He did. I think a lot of what is happening with these mocks is like certain people are kind of overvaluing guys. Like they're like, oh, I really like this player, so like they should be taken way higher than what I think their perceived value is. Like Hendon Hooker. Last week, Mike Tannenbaum had him going fifth overall to the Seahawks. If they were to draft him at fifth overall, that's a move that gets you fired as a general manager.
There's a reason why Tannenbaum's in the media now with the team.
Yeah, there's a reason why he's at ESPN now instead of a GM for the Giants.
He'll probably be for the Jets or Dolphins.
Yeah, he'll be a guest for us next year. It was an awful mock, but it's like...
Mike Tannenbaum.
Yeah, and then we have to disregard everything he puts on there because it's going to be a terrible mock draft he gives us. But it's like, it's things like that where it's like you have to understand value for these guys too. It can't just be like, there's certain guys, I really like Jalin Hyatt. I'm not going to mock him to 11. When we did our first round mock, I'm not going to mock him to the Titans at 11 because I know that he's not the most coveted receiver in this draft class. Even if I think he might have the highest upside of them, aside from maybe like Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
So do you think mocks? Yeah. So can't mocks serve both purposes of like, hey, I want to fill out a mock where I'm predicting what I think teams should do versus what I think teams will do. I think you do both because I think the purpose of mock drafts, and people act like mock drafts are dumb and you don't care about them, that's fine. I'm telling you right now, every single front office in the NFL is doing mock drafts.
Yeah.
Because they don't call
or
them mocks.
Yours.
They call them simulations. They're trying to figure out, okay, if the board falls this way, what is going to be available to us? What about plan B, plan C, plan D? They're trying to prepare for every possible scenario.
Yeah, and Kiper and McShay, they put a lot of weight between certain guys in the NFL.com, guys like Charles Davis, I always think it does a great job on the mock because he goes outside the fold. But there becomes too many when you're just throwing names out there because at the end of the draft, you go, well, I had him going here. Well, because you filled out, it's like brackets. When you say, well, I had UConn winning it all, because you had 25 brackets filled out.
That's exactly
so don't give me UConn because you had Michigan State a bunch of times too. So the bottom line is mocks get kind of out of control. That's why we did the 0.5. Like, hey, that's a new trend, by the way. Everybody's got 1.0, 2.0, 3.0.
I hope it doesn't become a trend. I want that to be our thing.
Well, you just don't do too many because you know what? Things don't change. When we sat down and did those mock drafts, they have not played a football game. They have done nothing. Yes, some of them have done the pro days because they didn't run at the combine. They go and run at the pro days. That's fine. Numbers are slated when you do pro days. Guys run a lot faster. Remember that whole combine or the during the pandemic when they didn't have combine, they were doing pro days.
Yeah.
And then you were seeing all those 300. You were seeing all those 300 pounders like Sam Cosmi and stuff run like 4.8 and 4.9. Right. Come on, man.
I used to be I'm like a mock draft convert. I used to be a mock draft hater. I said these things are stupid. There's too many of them.
Yeah.
And then you know you get a taste. You say, I see what all the fuss is
sweet
about.
Sweet nectar's Mitchell's and color.
So I will say this. You are right. Most mock drafts are trash. They're awful. And I most of them I hate. But there are some guys out there that I think are very sensible. And there's parts where I disagree with them on, but like I can understand where they're coming from.
I think there's a lot of copying.
Tons of copying.
It's the same thing, Nick, you're a college basketball guy. If nobody really offers a guy and he's looked at as like a 3-star, what happens if Bill Self recruits that player? He jumps up to 4 or 5 real quick, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Bill Self's interested in him. So he goes from 2 stars to 4 stars like that instantaneously. Oh, Bill Self's interested in him. Let's bump him up. A lot of this with the mocks. You know, when a Kuiper McShay really hops on board with somebody, or Daniel Jeremiah, somebody like that that's got some, you know, influence going into it, or hears from the GMs and kind of Andrew Branner that knows the inside scoop. When they do it, they're kind of, maybe we should pay attention to this guy. But most of these guys already know they're bored. They know who's good, who's bad. Why? Because they've seen them in person.
The Chiefs are playing with house money at one position. We'll tell you what it is next. This is Character Concerns on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to a 610 Sports Radio NFL Draft Special with Nick, Bink, and Chris. Check out the Character Concerns podcast leading up to the NFL Draft at Union Station. Available at 610sports.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.